Trade Alert and Trading Club Update, Week 9. Welcome to this audio issue of Trading Club, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company. All rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. Before getting into today's update, we're issuing the following trade alerts. Buy to close 1 Nike NYSE, NKE, $70 covered call, expiring March 20, 26, sell 100 shares of Nike NYSE, NKE, buy to close 1 Chipotle Mexican Grill, NYSE CMG, $40 call, expiring March 20, 2026, sell 100 shares of Chipotle Mexican Grill, NYSE, CMG, buy to close 1 Chipotle Mexican Grill, NYSE, CMG, $32.50 put, expiring March 20, 26, buy to close 1 Celsius NASDAQ, sell, $40 puts, expiring March 20, 26. The value of the Trading Club tracking portfolio settled at $130,186 as of Thursday, March 5th, up 30% since our May 30th launch. See the detailed portfolio snapshot below. We made no trades this week. In today's update, we turn our attention to the biggest event moving markets this week, the outbreak of war in Iran. We explain why we believe the market has underpriced the potential risks of a prolonged conflict, and why we're exiting some of our lower conviction holdings to raise cash. Finally, we analyze two recent earnings reports from companies that could become winners from a global energy supply shock. Time to reduce risk. Before we get into geopolitics, one caveat: no one knows what comes next. But since we are in the business of putting capital to work in financial markets, our number one job is handicapping risk. And one thing seems clear after this week's events: the odds of an extreme downside scenario have risen to a level that we cannot ignore. As a result, we plan to begin cutting risk across the portfolio, starting by paring back on positions where we have the least amount of conviction. This includes exiting all of our current holdings in fast casual restaurant chain Chipotle Mexican Grill, NYSE, CMG, and shoe and apparent giant Nike, NYSE, NKE. These businesses are each working through turnaround efforts to fix company-specific problems, and thus we view them as more vulnerable to an external economic shock. Plus, neither stock trades at a compelling enough valuation to offer a meaningful margin of safety in the event of such a shock. Next, we're retaining our core stock and covered call position in energy drink maker Celsius, NASDAQ, sell, but closing out the additional put option we've previously sold. The goal here is to simply remove a position with little remaining upside, as we have already captured over 80% of the put premium, based on yesterday's closing prices. This will also free up a significant amount of cash that we believe could be put to better use in the event of broad market weakness. We remain committed to holding a core position in Celsius, especially after a stellar Q4 report on February 6. The company posted sales growth of 117% year-on-year, YoY, to $722 million and earnings per share of 26 cents, both handily exceeding analyst estimates. Celsius has now officially transformed from a niche player to holding 20% U.S. market share and contributing to 33% of the total energy drink market in 2025. This year, the company will move its entire product portfolio into Pepsi's massive distribution network, setting the stage for another year of robust growth. This is a high conviction idea that we'll plan to add to in the event of share price weakness from here. Now, on to the main topic: the outbreak of hostilities between the U.S. and Iran, and energy supply stock exceeding the 1970s embargo. Normally, we avoid making investment decisions around geopolitical flare-ups. History shows that these events typically have no long-term impact on financial markets, as I previously wrote about in June, ironically, in response to the U.S. and Israeli airstrikes on Iran that served as the prelude to today's crisis. But there are a few exceptions. Most notably, the oil embargoes of the 1970s, which played a major role in the stagflation crisis that led to a lost decade in financial assets. The current situation with Iran threatens to unleash a global oil shortage three times larger than the 1973 oil embargo, in addition to massive disruptions in other critical commodities. It seems obvious that U.S. President Donald Trump expected the Iranian airstrikes to result in a repeat of the seamless, overnight regime change achieved in Venezuela. And while the initial strikes did eliminate the country's leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, it appears that the U.S. massively miscalculated the subsequent response. Within hours of the initial strikes, the Iranians began launching a barrage of retaliatory missile and drone attacks that have crippled nearly every U.S. military base in the Middle East. The Iranians have also effectively shut down marine traffic through the Strait of Hormuz, one of the world's largest shipping choke points, Approximately 20% of global oil and liquefied natural gas, LNG, exports flow through the strait each day, and the vast majority of that supply has now been taken off the global market. For some context on the scale here, the 1973 oil embargo removed around 7% of global supply. Many have taken comfort in the fact that oil prices haven't yet spiraled out of control, with West Texas Intermediate crude prices only rising around 35%, from $67 per barrel last week to around $90 as of early Friday morning. But this tempered price response is mostly a function of the record surplus of oil stored on tankers before this conflict erupted. With a little more than 100 million barrels of excess supply on the water, and a current disruption of around 20 million barrels per day, this offshore buffer will likely be eroded within the span of a week. We're seeing the more immediate impact in prices of energy products that don't have a similar buffer of excess supply. Like Asian jet fuel, where prices more than doubled to a high of $250 per barrel earlier in the week, before settling down to $193 yesterday. Natural gas is another major problem, with about 20% of LNG exports disrupted by the halt of traffic through the Strait of Hormuz. Europe and Asia rely heavily on these LNG flows to power their economies. And unlike crude oil, which can easily be stockpiled in tanks, LNG is much more difficult to store. South Korea recently reported that it has just 9 days' worth of LNG reserves. And the Korean stock market was quick to begin pricing in a crippling energy shortage, with the country's main stock index, the Kospi Composite, plunging 20% in 2 days to start the week. This could be a preview of what's to come in more markets around the world. A crippling blow to the global economy. Here's the main problem with shutting down the Strait of Hormuz. The impact isn't limited to energy. This global choke point threatens to unleash shortages of a whole host of critical commodities that could bring the global economy to a halt. Take fertilizer, for example. About one-third of global supply normally passes through the strait, and those shipments have collapsed to zero. And unlike energy, countries around the world don't stockpile excess fertilizer in strategic reserves. Few are paying attention, as fertilizer prices don't make headline news. But we are seeing the futures prices for major agricultural staples like wheat, corn, and soybeans surging in anticipation of higher costs for crop production. And the timing couldn't be worse, coming on the heels of the planting season for the world's key agricultural regions. If this disruption continues, it will quickly lead to higher food prices on top of the global energy crunch. We're only scratching the surface. Another underappreciated risk is the disruptions in the supply of helium, a specialty gas used in semiconductor manufacturing, for which there is no substitute. The nation of Qatar supplies about 30% of the world's helium, which it generates as a byproduct of LNG production at its Ras Laffan facility. Ras Laffan is also the world's single largest LNG plant, responsible for 20% of global supply. On March 2, Qatar announced the shutdown of Ras Laffan in response to damage from Iranian drone strikes. Now, here's the thing about LNG facilities. They don't immediately come back online by flipping a switch. It sets things back by at least a month. The Ras Laffan facility takes 2 weeks to reach initial production after a shutdown, and then requires another 2 weeks to ramp up to full capacity. What happens to today's artificial intelligence, AI, boom when a critical input for semiconductor manufacturing runs short? Not to mention the countless other products that make everyday life possible, including everything from automobiles to smartphones? This time's different. The physical damage to critical infrastructure makes today's supply disruption different from prior episodes in modern history. It's one thing to create an artificial supply shortage with an oil embargo or the closure of a shipping lane. Those can be reversed in a single day through diplomacy. But it's an entirely different story when infrastructure gets destroyed. Iran is surrounded by the most target-rich environment of critical energy infrastructure on the planet. And with each passing day, its drones and missiles are wreaking havoc on refineries, ports, and pipelines. In addition to Ras Laffan, Saudi Aramco's Ras Tanura facility, one of the world's largest oil refineries, is currently offline after damage from a drone attack. Yesterday, a ballistic missile struck the Bahrain Petroleum Company, BAPCO, oil refinery in Mamir, triggering a series of large fires. BAPCO is one of the largest refineries in the region, converting about 400,000 barrels per day of crude oil into diesel, jet fuel, and gasoline. Repairs to these facilities could take weeks or months, and there's currently nothing preventing Iran from destroying infrastructure faster than it can be repaired. Finally, there's the growing risk of structural damage from oilfield production shut-ins across the Middle East. With exports cut off, major energy producers in the region are filling up their available storage tanks. And once they're filled up, there's no choice but to shut down production, which has already started in Iraq's Rumaila oil field, one of the largest in the world, producing around 1.4 million barrels per day. People often picture an oil field as a giant underground lake you can simply turn on and off like a faucet. The reality is far more complex. An oil reservoir is a complex system that contains a delicate balance of oil, gas, water, and pressure. The mature fields across the Middle East are typically managed by injecting water and gas to maintain pressure and sweep oil toward producing wells. Disrupting that carefully managed injection production balance, even briefly, can take months to restabilize. And some of the formation damage from an unplanned shutdown may never fully recover. Time is the enemy. The clock is ticking to prevent this scenario playing out across the largest oil fields in the Middle East. The current estimates for when storage capacity will fill up in the UAE, Qatar, and Kuwait ranges from 14 to 21 days, and the largest producer, Saudi Arabia, will run out of storage capacity in an estimated 30 to 60 days. Each day that this conflict continues, the risks increase. Simply maintaining today's status quo moves the world closer to a crippling shortage of critical commodities. That's what makes this situation so dangerous. Of course, it's always possible that the hostilities cease and the world returns to normal, but there doesn't appear to be any clear off-ramp in the near future. In the short weeks since the U.S. and Israel attacked Iran, U.S. authorities have extended their expected operational timeline from 4 days to 4 weeks. And yesterday, Politico reported that the U.S. Central Command is internally preparing for the operation to last through September. There's even been reports that the U.S. is considering a boots-on-the-ground invasion. In terms of any immediate diplomatic solution, earlier this week, Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi poured cold water on the prospect of a ceasefire, noting, "We are not asking for a ceasefire, and we don't see any reason why we should negotiate with the U.S. We have never sent any messages to them. And so the key risk here is simply that this conflict will drag on for weeks or months. That could result in a supply shock and inflationary spiral that central banks can't solve. You can't print your way out of an energy shortage. For all of these reasons, we believe it's prudent to begin paring back on risk and playing defense. Fortunately, we already have a downside hedge in place via the put option on the Invesco QQQ ETS, QQQ, which tracks the NASDAQ 100. And today's trades will free up cash, providing dry powder to capitalize on future opportunities that might arise from a significant market downturn. Where we see opportunity, the stocks we're focused on now are the clear winners that could capture the higher commodity prices from a global supply shortage, but are also thriving even without this catalyst. That way, if our concerns about a runaway geopolitical crisis turn out to be unfounded, we can still win. And top-tier energy companies seem like the obvious choice here. This includes companies like LandBridge, NYSE, Pound, the landlord to fellow portfolio company WaterBridge Infrastructure, NYSE, WBI, the leading provider of water disposal infrastructure in the Permian Basin. Recall that WaterBridge disposes of the salt water generated as a byproduct of oil and gas production, also known as produced water. Here's the key thing to know about the produced water business in the Permian. Demand goes up every year like clockwork, regardless of where oil prices trade. This includes last year, when Permian produced water volumes rose 8% to a new high of 22 million barrels per day. The trend of rising water production in the Permian is here to stay, regardless of what's happening in the world, even in a bear market for oil prices. That's because the water-to-oil ratio is steadily increasing throughout the basin. So even when overall energy production in the Permian slows down, like last year, water volumes continue increasing as each well produces more water over time. And when WaterBridge captures more Permian-produced water flowing through its pipeline network, that means more royalty income for its landlord, LandBridge. LandBridge reported Q4 results on February 25 that blew away all expectations. Revenue increased 56% YoY to $56.8 million, while EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, jumped 61% to $51.1 million, both exceeding analyst estimates. The company also generated $36.4 million in free cash flow, FCF, reflecting a stellar FCF margin of 64%. We view LandBridge as one of the best royalty businesses in the energy patch. It's not only a high-margin cash cow, but it's growing at an incredible rate given the booming demand for produced water disposal in the Permian. The chart below shows LandBridge's revenue growing by 200% in the last 2 years alone. Both LandBridge and WaterBridge should each benefit from higher prices, which means more oil and gas production in the Permian Basin. And with more energy production comes more produced water as a byproduct. But as 2025 showed, even without a bull market, these two companies can continue generating steady revenue and earnings growth. Thus, we believe these businesses offer the ultimate heads we win, tails we don't lose opportunity. We'll have more to say about both companies in our upcoming special report, which we plan to release later this month. Next up is our favorite oil and gas royalty business, Viper Energy, NASDAQ, VUNM, another energy company finding ways to win despite a low-price environment. Viper reported Q4 earnings on February 24 that exceeded analyst estimates across the board. This included a 90% YoY increase in revenue to $435 million, ahead of the estimated $426.5 million. Royalty volumes of 134,000 barrels per day, BD, beat estimates of 126,600 BD. The main growth driver came from Viper's CDO Royalties acquisition, which it completed in mid-2025. Viper has a history of making aggressive, highly accretive acquisitions during energy bear markets, and the INCO deal was no different. Viper paid $4.1 billion in an all-stock merger, which resulted in Viper owning 80% of the new combined entity. Thus, Viper effectively gave up 20% of its equity, and in exchange, it nearly doubled its revenue and earnings growth. It also boosted its proved reserves by 107%, which now stand at 406 million barrels of oil equivalent. The Q4 results were good enough to support a 15% increase in the annual base dividend to 38 cents per share, or $1.52 annualized. The company also announced a special dividend, which fluctuates with energy prices, of 14 cents per share. Together, the 52 cents per share combined dividend reflects a 4.8% annual yield, a decent yield considering oil prices averaged around $60 in Q4. And with oil now trading well above $80, higher prices should flow directly into Viper's earnings and cash flow, which will get passed to shareholders through a higher dividend payment in future quarters. Finally, the company also announced a $1 billion share buyback authorization, equal to 6.2% of the current market cap. If we combine the dividend yield plus the buyback, that translates into a total shareholder yield of 11%. Assuming $60 oil prices this year, Viper should generate roughly $1 billion in FCF. And the thing we love about the royalty business is higher energy prices flow directly to the bottom line, given the minimal operating and capital expenditures required to run the business. With oil prices now trading well over $80, that should translate directly into higher cash flows and shareholder returns. But even assuming the unlikely scenario that today's energy disruption in the Middle East is a temporary phenomenon that gets quickly resolved, the business trades at less than 16x the projected free cash flows at $60 oil. That's a bargain price for a business of Viper's quality, and one that bakes in a nice margin of safety in case energy prices come back down from here. On any meaningful pullbacks in the share price, Viper will be at the top of our list for places to redeploy available cash. Portfolio overview. The table below shows all current holdings as of the close of trading on Thursday, March 5. A few notes on how to read and interpret this portfolio table. Please pay special attention to the action column, where we specify whether each trade is a buy or sell to open transaction. Next, the position size for each trade is equal to the current value of the position, with the exception of the cash secured puts. In the case of the cash secured puts, we define the position size as the total value of our future commitment to purchase 100 shares for each contract. This number is calculated as follows. Position size equals number of contracts x 100x put strike price. We use this number because it accurately reflects our total capital commitment and thus our total risk exposure on the trade. For example, in the case of the Celsius, NASDAQ, sell, $40 put, the position size equals 1 by 100 x $40 equals $4,000. We use this number because it accurately reflects our total capital commitment and thus our total risk exposure on the trade. To see the current profit/loss across each open position and other details, please see the live snapshot of our tracking portfolio at the end of this update. Next, the links below will take you to each of the original recommendations in the current portfolio, including the 5 call contracts and shares of British American Tobacco, NYSE, BTI, which we covered in our inaugural trade series, here, and in a video recorded on May 30th, which can be found here, the June 2nd Triple Flag Precious Metals, NYSE, TFPM. Recommendation can be found here, the October 30th recommendation of the Invesco QQQ Trust, NASDAQ QQQ, put option can be found here, the July 24th recommendation of Philip Morris International, NYSE, PM, trades can be found here, the August 21st recommendation of Chipotle Mexican Grill, NYSE, CMG, can be found here, the September 2nd recommendation of the iShares Silver Trust ETF, NYSE, SLV, can be found here. The September 18th recommendation of PayPal, NASDAQ, PIPL, can be found here. The September 24th recommendation of the Celebrite, NASDAQ, CLBT, risk reversal options trade can be found here. The December 19th recommendation of Nike, NYSE, NKE, can be found here. The January 9th recommendation of the Invesco QQQ Trust, NASDAQ, QQQ, put option can be found here. The January 13th recommendation of LandBridge, NYSE, Pound, and WaterBridge Infrastructure, NYSE, WBI, can be found here. The January 21st recommendation of EQT, NYSE, EQT, calls and WaterBridge Infrastructure, NYSE, WBI, cash secured puts can be found here. The February 4th recommendation of LandBridge, NYSE, Pound, cash secured puts can be found here. Plus, the following trades published on Thursday, December 4th, can be found here. They are the purchase of 100 shares of Celsius, NASDAQ, sell, and the sale of one sell $40 cash secured put, expiring March 20, 26. The purchase of 100 shares of Booz Allen Hamilton, NYSE, BHA, and the sale of one BH $100 covered call, expiring March 20, 2026. The sale of one Philip Morris International, NYSE, PM, $175 covered call, expiring March 20, 26. The sale of two Viper Energy, NASDAQ, VUNM, $40 cash secured puts, expiring March 20, 2026. The sale of one Chipotle Mexican Grill, NYSE, CMG, $32.50 cash secured put, expiring March 20, 2026. The sale of seven Kenvue, NYSE, Cavu, $17 cash secured puts, expiring March 20, 2026. If you have any questions or feedback, the Trading Club Forum is the best chance to get a quick response from our team. If you haven't yet checked it out, click here to gain access and join the conversation. Alternatively, you can always email us at mailbag@porterandcompanyresearch.com. Good investing, Ross Hendricks, Porter & Company. Click on the portfolio to enlarge and view it in a new window. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hope you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top 3 best buys, where we highlight 3 current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top 3 best buys under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.